Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message with Pastor Travis Turner.
So we started a brand new series this last week called The Counselor. And this is a series on the Holy Spirit. I shared with you last week that many churches won't even talk about the Holy Spirit because it's hard to talk about things that you don't have a complete understanding on. I'm telling you, you do yourself a major disservice when you do not look at what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do to a person that believes. Are there any believers in the house here today? Anybody that believe in Jesus Christ as your... So listen, you should be very interested in what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to title the message, The Helper. And I was thinking in my office just today how there are times in life where you're just kind of going through the process of life And you're in need of some help. Can I get a witness this morning? Everything's fine. Everything's going smoothly. And then all of the sudden, you're faced with a situation that you don't have the answer to. And I'm so great. This is why it's so important for you to be connected to the body of Christ. Listen, it's very important for you to, you know, not just come and listen, but for you to come and invest your life into the lives of other people. Because I can tell you this, that God will use others to help you at the right time. But even above and beyond that, come on, Jesus said, listen, I'm going away to the Father, but I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you, come on, it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that will help you. That means that whatever the power, do you think it takes a lot of power to raise somebody from the dead? You better believe it. Come on, and Jesus is saying, listen, that same power is available to you. And that's something that we should get excited about. There's times that we need a little help, and God already has the answer. He's already sent the helper. Now listen, I can understand that we relate to the Father so well because we have fathers and we are fathers. Are there any fathers in the house? You know, a huge responsibility. We can relate to the Father because we've got an example, and we can relate to the Son easily because we are sons and we have sons, and Jesus himself is the Son of God, right? He's like the central figure of the Godhead. He's kind of the focus most of the time. And so we have sons. And by the way, let me just say this, that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. Like, there's not many begotten. He's the only one that is begotten of the Father. And you are called sons and daughters of God simply because he chose to adopt you in. Come on, and that should really bless you because he picked you, right? He chose you. But Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. There wasn't multiple begotten. There wasn't tens or hundreds or thousands or millions. He is the only begotten of the Father. That's what your Bible and my Bible both say. So when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it can be confusing because we really don't have very many things to connect to that represent the Holy Spirit like fathers and sons do. And so what we typically do sometimes in the church is just stay away from things that we can't quite explain. Can I tell you this? That the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is not an it. Oftentimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as an it. Did you receive it? It is not an it. It is, or he is, God. He is just as much a God as the Father is, and he's just as much God as the Son is. He is God. Now listen, I'll give you a pass because I understand what people are saying when they say, ooh, they received it, or have you received it, talking or referring to the Holy Spirit. They're typically talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? All of us have the Holy Spirit. No man can call Jesus Christ Lord unless the Spirit give them understanding or give them instruction or direction, right? But I do believe, fully believe, that you can have more of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the Bible says, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? It's the same baptized, it's baptismo, which means to be buried with or submersed. Come on, it speaks to being overwhelmed, come on, in the Holy Spirit. Just like when you're baptized into the water, we don't dash you with a couple of sprinkles, we get you fully wet. And I truly have been known to say, wow, a little bit of the forehead was sticking up, I'll put you right back down again to get you completely covered. It's just my personal preference. You're fine. It's not, God doesn't have anything to do with it. That's me. But I'm just saying that's why we, are you guys with me so far? Okay. So Robert Morris, I really encourage you to read this book. Robert Morris was raised in a church that never really taught on the Holy Spirit, didn't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. But Robert Morris wrote a book called The God That I Never Knew. And so basically in this book, he begins to explain his journey being raised in this very conservative church, never really talked about the Holy Spirit. But when he started getting into God's word himself, he recognized that there was a theme that the Holy Spirit was always being talked about. Always, 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 always being talked about, spoken about. And so he's like, man, I've been raised in the church and I know nothing about the Holy Spirit. And so he said it was very uncomfortable, you know, even praying and talking to God about the Holy Spirit, because it was never part of his prayers. It was never part of his conversation. But he began, come on, to pray about, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And the Lord did. And out of this, a person that was never raised understanding or believing that this was available to him, out of this, God did a tremendous work and this book came out of it. So if you're interested in reading, I would encourage you to check the book out. Robert Morris, The God That I Never Knew. I want you to know this morning that the Holy Spirit has a soul. And you know, a soul, it really grabs a hold of a couple different things. Soul, you know, that's where your emotions are tied up, and you've got reasoning capabilities, and you have a will. And I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit has those things. In fact, my Bible says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit, right? You can, you know, It's a person. It's a person of the Godhead, and we can grieve him, and the Holy Spirit will help you. Have you ever heard that? That the Holy Spirit will help you? Matter of fact, Jesus in the book of John said, listen, I have to go away, but when I go, I'm going to send back the Helper. The same Spirit that abided in me is available and will abide in you as well. So Jesus called him the Helper. Everybody say the Helper. So if he calls him the Helper, just the way that my mind thinks, there's a question in my mind that follows. What do you think that question is? What is he going to help me with? Okay, so you're going away and you're going to send back the Helper. And so that's fantastic. There's a reason why you're sending the Helper to me. What is he going to help me with? Well, I want to share with you a couple of those things, and there's probably many, many more, but let's just talk about a couple. The first thing that the Holy Spirit does is he helps speak the truth to us. He speaks the truth. He was sent to speak the truth. What is a contradiction of the truth? Lies, right? And so a contradiction of the truth is lying or speaking false things. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says Satan is the father of lies. In fact, he goes on to say that the spirit of truth or truth is not even in him. So think about this for a second. You've got the Holy Spirit that comes to speak truth to you, and Satan himself, he doesn't even have the ability to say one thing that's true. The best thing that he can do is under camouflage is speak a half-truth to you, which is a lie. Like a half-truth is just as much of a lie as a full-blown lie is. And in fact, it's sometimes more dangerous because it has the sound of being good or being right. So let me show you how this plays out. Satan is in your ear often, way too often. You know, he's given access to your ear more than he should. My Bible says that he should be up underneath my feet. And why we allow him to speak to us, you know, I talk to Christians that love God, and myself, I have even bought into the lies of the enemy. Come on, he's saying things like, you're worthless. You know, you have no value whatsoever. You're never going to amount to anything. You know, you're always going to, you know, have an addiction. You're always going to, you know, have this issue. You're going to take those thoughts to the grave with you, right? Those are all lies. And you know, one of the biggest lies that I see in our community and in our world today that people are buying into that is very, very sad, it's the lie of suicide. So many people are buying into the lie. They're listening to what the enemy is speaking into their ear, and they literally come to a place of believing that that is the best option of all options on the table. For me to take my life, it's going to make my family better. It's going to make, you know, I won't have to deal with things anymore. Everybody's just going to be so much better off if I'm not here. And I'm telling you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Come on, my Bible says that Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. Just like Jesus speaks the truth, come on, the devil speaks a lie. The truth isn't even in the devil. I'm telling you that whenever suicide is an option, you need to recognize that Jesus has nothing to do with it. He is not involved in it whatsoever because he came to give life and life abundantly. Come on, he doesn't want you to take your life prematurely, but it is a lie that people listen to. And I am so tired of seeing broken families deal with going through that. It's so heart-wrenching. And I'm just saying, come on, that this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that when the enemy begins to speak in your ear, the best thing that you can do is just begin to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That the spirit that is inside of you is going to lead you into truth and understanding. Because whenever the enemy is saying, when the enemy is saying you're worthless and you're not going to amount to anything, you know what the Holy Spirit will say? It's a lie. You know what I mean? When the enemy is saying you're an addict, And you're never going to, you know, receive any relief over this addiction that you're, the Holy Spirit, if you'll go to the Holy Spirit and pray in Jesus' name that the Spirit of God would give you understanding, the Holy Spirit's going to say, that's a lie. Because you are, like I said, you're valuable, you're chosen. Come on, you're not one of the begotten. You're not the begotten. There's only one of them, but God chose you. And I'm just telling you this, that God doesn't choose junk. He doesn't choose junk. Come on, you are a valuable person and you are here on purpose. And God wants to do greater things in and through your life than what you can even sometimes see. So the devil's always in your ear. Call him a liar and tell him to get out. Yeah. Number two is this, the Holy Spirit leads us into truth. So he doesn't just speak the truth to us. Listen, God doesn't just want you to know the truth. He wants you to walk in the truth, right? And can I just say this, that there's a lot of people in our churches today around the world that know the truth, but they're not walking in the truth. And I'm just saying, I believe that that breaks Jesus's heart. You know, I can honestly just tell you, there have been times in my own life, I'll talk about me because it's easier. There have been times in my own life where I've been messing around in places that I shouldn't be messing around in. And I've thought to myself, bumped by the Holy Spirit, I've thought to myself, man, I really shouldn't be here, but continue in that place regardless of what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. How many of you know that he'll let you just keep going, but he's warning you. He's saying, listen, stop. You know, you're better than this. Come on, this is gonna lead to hurt and destruction and pain. But yet you can still say to the Holy Spirit, listen, my flesh or my whatever it is, you know, it's stronger, you know, right now. But I just want you to know that Jesus wants you to walk in the truth, not just to know the truth. Jesus laid down doctrine and beliefs. I want to talk to you just for a second. Like, you don't have to figure out doctrine and belief. Like, you know, your walk with God, He's got it figured out. He laid down doctrine and he laid down belief. Now listen, you need to study and you need to, but all I'm saying is that, like, you don't, your doctrine and belief as a Christian is gonna be real similar to mine because we're Christ-like. He is the one that defines it. I don't define it. And I'm so tired of people, you know, in the church even arguing and debating. Well, you know, that's kind of your interpretation, but, you know, and it's just such a cheesy way of just, you know what I mean? Not taking ownership that you're doing things outside or I'm doing things outside of God's plan for my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, the best thing that the church could start doing is taking some responsibility and being the men and women of God that God's called us to be. But we explain it away and we're like, yeah, this isn't really how I look at it. And this is, you know what I'm saying? And it's not doing anybody any good. And the world is also looking at us and wondering, why in the world, you know? What's so great about, I'm just saying, we need to get it together. But he laid down the doctrines and belief. And guess what? When the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, he's not going to contradict what Jesus has already laid down. They're always going to walk in complete harmony and unity. Like, the Holy Spirit is never going to tell you something, you know, that Jesus himself has already instructed. It's not going to contradict those things, but we do it all the time. People in the church, it's like, yeah, you know what? I had a dream last night of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said it was fine for me to take a second wife. And I was like, are you crazy? That was a joke. It's a bad idea. If you're thinking about it. There's no contradiction. There was a young man that called me just this last week, and he's been around the church for quite a while, but never really just involved or invested, and God's really been doing something in his life about the last month and a half, and so he calls me in the middle of the week. Can I just tell you this, that whenever God's doing something huge in your life, it's going to get challenged. And this young man got challenged in his workplace. He was like, listen, there's another Christian. It was through another Christian. Another Christian, you know, started talking to him about things that he hadn't heard about. And he called me. He was all nervous. He's like, Pastor, I'm just messed up. And he said, this guy said this, and this. And have you looked at this and this? And he said, all these things, I've got a feeling inside of me that they're wrong, but I just don't know. And I just had the opportunity to encourage him and talk to him about the discernment that the Holy Spirit is giving him on some of these awkward opinions that he's just been approached with. But I'm just saying that one of the gifts that God will give you is discernment. You know what I'm saying? Discernment is really going to be strong if you spend some time in God's Word. Because if you spend some time in God's Word, and I believe that even if you've only been serving the Lord for 3 months, If you commit to God's word, I believe that the Holy Spirit knows how to get some nonsense joker, you know, stuff that some joker's speaking to you about that doesn't seem to be adding up. I believe that the Holy Spirit is able to get you to a portion of scripture that you just recently read that will show you, I'm not listening to anything else that you say. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to be an expert with a doctorate in theology. You can just, you can, if you put in the time of spending in God's word with a heart of trying to get to know him, the Holy Spirit's able now. You give him something to use. And he'll say, oh, yeah, I think I read something. And then, boom, you're like, no more. And so it's going to build confidence. It's going to build safety. You know what I'm saying? But you have to get into, you got to start. If you haven't, like if you are not a person that opens your Bible, all I'm asking you is just start. Just start. One 5-minute session a day. Just open it up and trust that God will show you some things. The third thing that I want to share with you is the Holy Spirit comes to tell you of things that are to come. And for some of you right now, you're like, man, that sounds like some real voodoo stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like that sounds a little funky. But listen, don't take my word for it. Let me give you the word of the Lord. The Bible says in John 16 and verse 13 that he, the Holy Spirit, comes to tell you things that are to come. That's what he does. What a blessing. You know, what a benefit. Have you ever been up late at night and they got those psychic hotlines? like 1-800, I'll take all your money. There's a couple of things about these. First of all, please, as a Christian, don't mess around with that. Amen. And while I'm on that, please, as a Christian, don't mess around with your horoscope. Don't waste your time on that stuff. Seriously. But there's a few things about psychics. Most of them are full of more baloney than you can fit in your refrigerator. I mean, it's just so much baloney. And then some of them are master manipulators. So if you partner, like if you marry somebody, not here, but some like a normal person that's calling these psychic hotlines, they're so hungry, come on, for some instruction and some direction. Do you know how open and available you put yourself for some weirdo, wacko person just to start speaking, and you're just going to grab a hold of everything that they say? Some of them are master manipulators, and people are so hungry to receive something that's supernatural. They're like, oh man, this guy told me everything that there was to know about me. Or this woman, man, she just, you know, she felt my aura through the phone, you know, from the Philippines or something. But I'm just saying that you've got people that are full of baloney. You've got people that are master manipulators, and then you have people that are very accurate. And my question to those people that are very accurate is this: from what spirit do you think they get that information from? Because I really believe this. I don't have a lot of, you know, this is my opinion. I'm just sharing you could throw it out the window. But my opinion is that there's a counterfeit. Come on, for every good gift that God has for us, there's a counterfeit. You see Moses, you know, the witches or whatever you want to call them, they turn things into snakes. Well, Moses, like, big deal, takes his rod, throws it on the ground, and eats their snakes, right? And so I believe that there are counterfeits. You know, for every good thing that God has for us, I believe that there's a counterfeit to that thing. And I'm just saying, don't open yourself up, come on, to the nonsense that the enemy can, you know, can play off of. The Holy Spirit will tell you what's to come. I remember moving or making the decision to move out here from the Boise area. And my wife and I, we had come down a few different times, and then there was one time where we met with the board, and we just knew that God was calling us here, but we were going to make a family decision. And so I got my family around. We were sitting in our living room, and all the kids and my wife and I, and we just began to share with them that we felt like the Lord was moving us or calling us to Rupert. Now, this was not an easy decision. I had a daughter that was finishing her junior year, and she was going into her senior year. She had been in the Valley View School District, you know, her whole life, played soccer with all of her friends since she was knee high. We had gone to the same church that I was on staff at. We had gone to that church for 13 years. We had family-friendly relationships with all of those people at that church. And now I'm sitting around with my kids in my living room and my wife, and we're saying, listen, do we think that God would be in us moving to Rupert? And through tears, some of them had tears, they still came to the answer that yes, this is what we feel like God would have us to do. It wasn't easy. It's not what they wanted. Like, they weren't like super excited about, oh yeah, that's going to be neat, going into a place that we don't know anybody, and they didn't even know where Rupert was, because I didn't really even know where Rupert was. And I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit, I believe without a question that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and spoke to my wife first at the same time. And then the same Holy Spirit also convinced my children that this is what we were supposed to do as a family. And we made a family decision to come here. We were not going to divide the family. We kicked it around. Well, maybe we'll just let Ashley stay back, and then she can graduate and walk with her, and then she can come. And no, we said, listen, we're a family, and we're going to do this as a family. We're not going to divide our family. Our family is supposed to be together. And so I believe that was the Holy Spirit showing us some things to come. And I'm just going to hit this real quick. But I believe that the Holy Spirit has probably shown you some things that you've just maybe explained away at some point or another. Like, you know, and you've explained it away maybe as intuition or bad pizza the night before. You know what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit literally has shown you some things that you've walked out, and it has blessed your life, but you didn't give the Holy Spirit any credit. This wasn't at this church, but I've got a friend that pastors a church, and he had a businessman, a real entrepreneurial. This guy had a real spirit, you know, of business, and anyway, he had an idea, and they started it, and it was taking a while to get off the ground. But then all of a sudden, come on, this business just blew up overnight. And I think there were about, you know, 4 years into it. Well, at the three-year mark, this guy would take 3 days out of the year, and he would separate himself, and he would go pray, and he would fast, and he would read his word, and he would just meditate on the things of God. And guess what happened? God began to show him some things that he wrote down, and then when he came back home, he implemented the things that he felt like the Lord had showed him during that, you know, during that time of prayer, fasting, and meditation. And so he implemented them, and the result was the business grew. Well, he went back again the next year and did the same thing, spent 3 days, came back, implemented them, and the business grew. And so people are asking, what in the world happened? And he begins to explain, do you really want to know? This is what has happened. And so here you've got a guy that's walked in tremendous blessing and growth and changed his family dynamic financially and on so many other levels. But this guy's not explaining it away. He's giving credit where credit is due. He felt like that the information that he was given during that time of just devoting those 3 days to the Lord Come on, that's what brought about his success. Isn't that cool? Come on, I just believe this. Whatever your business is or whatever your, you know, maybe you're having a struggle in your marriage. If you would just take some time and devote it to the Lord, it may not be 3 days. It may be 1 day or 2 days, might be a week. But I believe this, that God is able to get you the information that you need through the Holy Spirit and through God's word, his written word, come on, that will benefit you in whatever it is that you're needing help with. Amen? All right. So, the word helper in Greek is the word parakletos. Everybody say that, parakletos. You know what parakletos means? It means to intercede. Parakletos, it paints the picture of you being in the courtroom and somebody fighting on your behalf. This is what the Holy Spirit does for you. Man, what a blessing. And people that don't really pay much attention to the Holy Spirit, they could just skip by some of these benefits and not even know that they're available to them. Come on, he is the helper. He intercedes. Come on, he makes up the difference. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to think. He can teach you what to say. And he can teach you when to shut your mouth. Everybody say that. Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
That was very rude. Thank you. You know, my son was going into boot camp, and I was in the Marine Corps for just 4 years, but I remember some things about boot camp. And I was trying to prepare him, you know, so that he could be successful in boot camp, because I remember people that they would go to boot camp and these guys going through training, they would act like they knew everything about what was being shared. And so I talked to Jacob. I said, Jacob, be seen more than you're heard. And I'm not saying don't open your mouth. There's going to be opportunity for you to speak. There's going to be opportunity for you to lead. There's going to be great opportunity for you to be the first one there. You know what I mean? So that you can lead by example. But be careful not to open. I said, take every opportunity to keep your mouth shut. And the Holy Spirit will do that. In fact, I guarantee you, this whole room right here, there have been times where you've opened your mouth and you wish you would have shut your mouth. I mean, there have been times where I've said something, and right after I said it, I'm like diving for those words so that I could, I was like, oh man, I wish I did not say that. So where else does the Holy Spirit help us? John chapter 16 and verse 8, it says this, that when he has come, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He goes on to qualify this. He says, of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And so I want to break this down for you real quick. The word conviction or convict, it's not like we would know it in a courtroom setting. It actually means more to convince. And so the Holy Spirit comes into the world to convince the world of their sin. Why would he do that? So that you can deal with it. This is why no man comes to the Father except the Holy Spirit, or by the Son. No man calls Jesus Christ Lord unless the Holy Spirit gives him that understanding. See, the Holy Spirit's job is to convince you that you have sin in your life, not just so that you can feel bad about yourself, but so that you can deal with it, so that you can go to the cross of Jesus Christ and say, listen, I need, come on, the sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross to forgive me of my sins. I need, come on, the blood of Christ to heal me. I need my sins washed away. I need the Spirit of the living God to come and live and dwell inside of me. Come on, somebody. You can't come to that place on your own. You can't. You're never just thinking about, you know what, following God would be kind of cool. So listen, if you're here for the first time and you're just, it's whatever it is that's brought you here, I guarantee you the work of the Holy Spirit is behind it, because the enemy's not behind it. I can guarantee you that. And so it convinces you that you're a sinner in need of a Savior so that you can go to the Savior and have your sins dealt with. Yeah. Right? This is bonus. It's not your job to convince people that they're sinners. It's not your job. Your job is to preach the gospel. Amen. Your job is to, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You share the good things. Come on, you share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then that person has the ability to either not want to deal with it or receive it and ask Jesus into their life. It's not your job to convince them. Please don't... Please don't ruin another family reunion trying to get your whole family saved. Can you just trust in the idea that if you use wisdom and you share the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that anyone who would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you love people, if you share the truth of God's love, it's not your job to convince them. It's not your job to argue with them. When I was first saved, I probably argued with over 100 people about the good things that Jesus had for them. Never once did I see one person come to Jesus. Not one time. Hours and hours spent with one person arguing. Both of us spitfire mad by the time we're done. Nothing good came out of it. It's not my job to convince somebody that they need Jesus. It is my job to love them. It's my job to tell the truth. It's my job to be Spirit-led. It's my job to use wisdom. It's my job to open my mouth when the Spirit of God... Jesus himself said, I don't go and I don't do and I don't say unless the Holy Spirit, amen, come on, gives him, or the Father. He was Spirit-led. The Father's instruction. I believe that the Holy Spirit will use you to convince people's need for Jesus. So we've talked about sinners. What about the saved? I just want to ask you, and this is just a simple question, but what is your faith like right now? Because it's easy to talk about me. When I grow cold in my faith, it's not long before I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing. When I grow cold in my faith, it's not long that I'm thinking about things that I shouldn't be thinking about. And so there's a progression. It's like you grow cold in your faith, next thing you know, you're sinning. You can take care of that sin, but I'm just saying, let's keep our faith strong. Let's stir ourself up in our most holy faith. The Holy Spirit will bump you, and it will remind you that you're getting close to the very place that Jesus has brought you out of. I was talking to a gentleman just this morning that God's been doing some incredible things and remarkable things as far as deliverance goes. But he's like, man, I feel the pressure of going back. And I just talked to him about that would be like a dog returning to its vomit. Here the Lord has done this miracle in your life, and don't go back. You know what I'm saying? Do whatever it takes. Call me, call somebody, get some people around you that will encourage you and to pray for you. But too often we find ourselves getting right back close to the area that we've been delivered out of, even testified about in the past. Man, God delivered me from this, but now you're messing with the idea of it again. So I'm encouraging you, don't go back. But where has this happened in your life? Maybe you're at a movie and it's not fit for you. Do you get up and leave or do you stay? Maybe your friends... you've bought into the lie that you're going to be a light to them and you're closer than what you should be to them, and you're not strong enough in the Lord. And so their influence on you to do go back to where you came from is stronger than your influence on them, you know, about walking with Jesus. You know, maybe you're just drinking too much. Well, that got quiet. Maybe you're just drinking too much. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. So what is this about? What is debauchery? That's a funky word. Debauchery is excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Anybody been there? Okay, we got about six honest people. Every person in this whole place should be raising your hand at some point or another. Come on, I said, have you ever, not that you're there right now, excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures? You see, what happens is we get hurt, and then we try to cover our hurt with things like alcohol that adds more hurt. So we try to fix hurt with more hurt instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's going to get you what you're in search of, and you're not going to have a hangover to deal with. Amen. It's going to get you what you need, and you're not going to struggle the next 2 days. Alcohol is often referred to as spirits. Why? Because it lowers our defenses, it impairs our vision. And for anybody that's ever had a problem with alcohol like I have, it will cause you to do things that you would never do in your right mind. Like there were things that I did with alcohol in my system that I would have never done in my right mind. And let me just ask you, who do you think's behind that? Now listen, I'm not going to beat up on alcohol because the Bible says that a little wine is good for your digestive system. Well, take Alka-Seltzer. You know, I'm not going to beat up on it. The only thing I'm going to say is this, because drinking's not a sin, but I have not met very many people. I'm not saying they're not there. I just haven't met them. Maybe it was just the circles that I was running in, but I have not met very many people that can have, you know, a glass of wine. It usually turns into two or four or six. They can't have just a beer. It usually turns into 20. I mean, those are the people that I know. I know there's people in different nations that's just, it's part of the culture, and they probably don't have the issues, I don't know, that we have, but I'm just saying personally, I haven't met too many people that use it just for your digestive system. I'm just gonna, I haven't met them. Maybe you have, but I haven't. And I'm just saying that if alcohol, if it lowers, it brings down your guard and causes you to do things that you would never do, come on, in your right mind, then why in the world would you mess with it? Honestly. And I would never, like, if I see you at Walmart and you got a 12-pack of Corona, please don't run from me because I am not going to, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to think anything. But it's so funny. I will see people just, they'll see me, they'll look, and they'll be gone. They will just go. Don't worry about it. There are people that can drink. I'm just not one of them. And so just because I deal with that doesn't mean that you do. But I'm just saying, you need to be honest with yourself. Are you a person that, you know what I'm saying? You can just have one. My brother's totally, my full brother, raised in the same mom and dad, same environment, everything. He could have a few beers a year and he could take it or leave it. I could have a few beers and I'm getting arrested. I just, how it ends up. And so we come from the same place, two totally different people. The scripture says to stay away from sorcery, right? What is sorcery? Casting spells is what we think about, incantations, those types of things. Sorcery, the very word sorcery is the word pharmakia. And pharmakia is drug use. And so, you know, if you're misusing drugs in any way, shape, or form that is altering, I'm just telling you, you're opening a door, come on, for the enemy to come in and to really just mess you up. You know, we've got an epidemic, pills, We've got a real problem in our world today with pills, people mixing them with alcohol and it's just, it's a bad deal. And something's got to change. It will change who you are, and it'll make you do things that you would never do in your right mind. So I'm going to close. Are you ready for me to close? The Spirit of God comes to give you gifts. The Spirit of God comes to help you. The Spirit of God comes to lead you into truth. The Spirit of God comes to help you walk in truth. The Spirit of God comes to show you how to love. The Spirit of God comes to be a light. The Spirit of God comes because God loves you and He wants to give a part of Himself to you that He had never given to humanity. Come on, before Pentecost. Or maybe that's a large statement. He may have given it, but just not on the level that happened 2,000 years ago. So this is what I just want you to know. God has been speaking. The Holy Spirit has been speaking for 2,000 years. And all I'm saying is don't push Him away. Amen. And maybe you've never been raised in a church or this is all new. The only thing that I would ask you to do is just to read your Bible, see what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. And just maybe like Robert Morris, just begin to pray, Lord, if there's more of your Spirit, then I want it. I mean, honestly, that's what I want. I personally, this is my personal outlook. I want everything that God has for me. Like, I believe that there are going to be people that are disillusioned. They're going to stand before God thinking that they did great things. And some of them are not even going to, you know, God's not even going to know who you are. Or who the other people, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying you, I'm just saying people. And I don't want to be disillusioned thinking that, you know, that, wow, the great work, man, we just gave our, man, you see all the, and really not even scratch the surface of what God's best was, you know, for me. And I would pray that you would approach that, you know, the same way. We got one life to live, one. People are, you know, you just went to a beautiful, I did a beautiful funeral yesterday. I did a funeral and a wedding all in one day. That's only happened a couple of times, but beautiful funeral. And this was one of those things that you know, somebody's living life and then all of a sudden life comes to an end and there's a wake of questions and it was a nice funeral. And thank God, you know, Russell knows the Lord, and there's no question in my mind where he is at. And that's a wonderful wonder. It makes it a whole lot easier. But all I'm saying is that none of us know. None of us know. We don't know. We don't know. Like, I plan on living until I'm 90. But the truth is I might not make it to the end of the week. And if that's the truth for me, then it certainly is the truth for you. So what you have is you have the day. And if Jesus himself is saying, listen, for you to do what it is that I want you to do, you're going to need some help. For you to just automatically just have a block up or push it away because of a bad experience that you've had in the past, or, you know, it didn't really just kind of mingle with the people that I was raised around. I'm just saying, don't cut it off. Come on, you have a personal relationship with the Lord. And I can just tell you this, that in my walk with God, there have been things that I didn't believe in at one point that I've changed after walking with Him for a period of time. And I honestly would think that that would probably be the case for most people. How many of you know none of us got this thing figured out? You know, I don't understand everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit. I don't understand everything there is to know about Father God. I don't understand everything there is to know about Jesus. I'm just trying my darndest, you know what I mean, to trust Him. And sometimes that's hard enough by itself. If I can just be honest with you. Sometimes I have a hard enough time hearing. And it's usually because there's too much other noise going on. And that's why I like the idea of pockets of time where you can separate and shut the noise off and get into the Word and pray and meditate and those types of things. And so all I'm saying is that please don't automatically just be like, you know. If God has something great for you, wouldn't you want it?
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. Services are Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m., as well as our Wednesday evening service at 6:30 p.m. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.